So open your Bibles, if you would please, with me to the book of James, chapter 4. This is my end of the year message. And we're going to start in James chapter 4. Two verses, verses 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So, this being the end of 2023, I usually do this at the end of the year. I went back over the year and took note of some of the more well-known personalities that went into eternity this year. Here are some of the names of some of most of these. Many of you will know, if not most of you. One or two of you might not know some of the younger ones, but these are all famous personalities that went to meet God this year. I hope they were saved, because if they weren't, they're in hell today. You don't know what tomorrow may bring, my friend. That's what the Bible just told us. Our life is a vapor. Yes. Appears for a little time, and it vanishes away. Either in heaven, if you know Christ as Savior, or in hell if you don't. So I urge you to trust the Lord as Savior if you haven't already. But let me read these names. Tom Smothers, Smothers Brothers, 86. Norman Lear. I think I have an idea where he is. 101. Evan Ellingson, this is an actor, age 35. Ryan O'Neill, 82. Rosalind Carter, the former First Lady, 96. Tyler Christopher, actor, 50. Matthew Perry, actor, very popular, 54. Suzanne Summers, an actress, 76. David McCullum, actor, age 90. Many of you may not remember him. The young people are going, who is that? That's how fleeting fame is. Everybody, when you're alive and famous, everybody knows you, but then you die and a few years go by and nobody ever heard of you. David McCullum co-starred in the old TV series called Man from U.N.C.L.E. Remember that one? Yeah. Four of you. That's what I'm talking about. Robert Vaughn, and anyway. Billy Miller, actor, 43. Tony Bennett, well-known singer, 96. Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman. Chris, you know who Pee Wee Herman was? Yeah, that's what I thought. Age 70. Jimmy Buffett, famous musician, 76. Mike Williams, NFL player, 36 years of age. Bob Barker, come on down, 99. One of the real tragic stories of the famous Sinead O'Connor, singer, very troubled woman, died at the age of 56. Jeffrey Carlson, actor who played transgender roles in soap operas, died at the age of 48. Iron Sheik, if I remember him, WWE Hall of Famer, 81. Jim Hines, track star, 76. Tina Turner, singer, 81. Jim Brown, NFL Hall of Famer, one of the greatest to ever play, 87. Tori Bowie, Olympic track and field champion, 32. So many of these athletes die young. Jerry Springer, probably no comment where we think he is, 79. Lance Reddick, most of you know that name, actor, age 60. Tom Sizemore, actor, age 61. He played in a lot of war movies. Band of Brothers, Black Hawk Down. He was typically a soldier in the movies he starred in. Raquel Welch, actress, 82. Burt Bacharach, singer-songwriter, 94. Cindy Williams, actress, 75. Laverne and Shirley. I can never remember who was Laverne and who was Shirley. So Cindy, who was she? She was Shirley. Bobby Hull, Hockey Hall of Famer, one of the greatest hockey players to ever live, 84. David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, singer, musician, 81. Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis Presley's daughter, 54. Bernard Kalb, television journalist, 100. Fred White, he was the drummer for Earth, Wind, and Fire, 67. Of course, Henry Kissinger, 100. No need to make any comments. Donald Wildman, founder of the American Family Association, died this year, age 85. Gaston Glock, the founder of the Glock pistol that revolutionized the handgun industry forever. The vast majority of police agencies around the world, including the United States, use the Glock pistol, age 94. Bobby Knight, Hall of Fame college basketball coach, most noted for coaching the University of Indiana Hoosiers, age 83. Ditt Buckus, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, linebacker to ever play the game of football, age 80. Charles Lovell, a judge, U.S. District Court for Montana, 93. Help me out back there. Lowell Weicker, liberal politician from Connecticut, 92. Isn't it amazing how these liberals live so long? Bud Grant, coach of the Minnesota Vikings, 95. And a dear, good preacher friend of mine that I've known for most of my adult life. He preached at our church many times down in Florida. He was a dear friend. He died this year at the age of 88. After he passed away, give me some more if you can without feedback. I went back and looked in my email correspondence with him, and the last thing that he had written to me over email, we talked on the phone as well and things of that nature, but the last thing he wrote to me in an email was, "Chuck, the country would be in much better condition if you had been elected president." So these are just a few of the notable personalities that went into eternity in 2023. What did the scripture say? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Dear friend, I know I'm talking to people that will not live through 2024. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? You noticed as I read through the list, there were several that were very elderly, then there were several that were very, very young. Death is no respecter of ages. Whenever God has ordained that you draw your last breath, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how good a shape you think you're in, when God requires your soul, you will be called into the presence of the Almighty. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross for you. He took your sins on Calvary. He was buried. He rose from the dead, proving he was God in flesh. Creator become man. The Savior and Redeemer for sinful mankind. There is no other way to heaven, he's told us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Your good works will not save you. Your church membership will not save you. Your confessing to the priest will not save you. Your water baptism will not save you. Trying to keep the law of Moses will not save you. Your spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues or whatever, will not save you. There's only one way to be saved, and that is by grace through faith in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not put your faith in him, if you are about ready to go into a brand new year, and you still have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that hearing the names that I just read will maybe awaken you to the need to trust the Lord as your Savior. Life is a very, very precious gift, and it is a very uncertain gift. We never know when that gift will be revoked by our Creator. Trust the Lord. Turn from whatever it is you think was going to save you. Your church membership, your baptism, your good work. Just turn your back on all of that and look to the cross. And by faith, trust Jesus and him alone as your Savior. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Amen. Amen. Now let's look back at 2023. I'm calling 2023 the year of the warmonger. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 140th. I want you to read this along with me. I can still use a little bit more, fellas, if you're able to do it. Psalm 140. I think this passage is a very apt description of the year 2023. Verses 1 through 3, Psalm 140. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Notice the last phrase of this verse. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. The word Selah means pause and think much on what was just said. But notice that phrase in verse 2. Continually are they gathered together for war. Continually are they gathered together for war. Many years ago down in Florida, I told my congregation, you can throw away those yellow ribbons because the fighting men are never coming home. Perpetual war is a tool of the globalists yes. to enslave right. our country. Yes. And we had nothing but continual war for a long time. And 2023 is a highlight of that truism. Truly, 2023 was the year of the warmonger. Start with Ukraine. This was the war which was started by U.S. neocons such as Henry Kissinger and Senator Lindsey Graham back in 2014. Whoever said it spoke truly. The U.S. will fight to the last Ukrainian. Zelensky is a cold-blooded killer of his own people and a heartless con man and war profiteer who gladly allows his fellow citizens to be slaughtered in a hopeless and unjust war as he personally reaps billions of dollars in profits from the neocons in Washington, D.C. Think about it. America has sent hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars worth of military equipment to Ukraine, ostensibly to help it protect its borders from a Russian invasion. An invasion, make no mistake about it, an invasion deliberately provoked by the U.S. and NATO, while at the same time completely not only overlooking the invasion of the United States across our southern border, but also deliberately encouraging and facilitating that invasion. It is not Donald Trump who is the insurrectionist. It is Joe Biden who has deliberately planned and executed an insurrectionist invasion of these United States of America. Joe Biden is a traitor. He is a war criminal who, instead of being a candidate for re-election as president, should be spending what's left of his miserable existence in a federal penitentiary. Which leads to the Israeli genocidal war against Gaza and the West Bank. The Israeli war in Gaza has nothing to do with self-defense. This is the deliberate, calculated, wholesale slaughter of innocent, unarmed men, women, and children with the goal of completely eradicating the entire Palestinian population in Gaza and the West Bank. This is a genocide taking place before the eyes of the world. Hear me. Israel has dropped the equivalent of 2 nuclear bombs on Gaza. the equivalent of two nuclear bombs. Bombs supplied by the U.S. government. Joe Biden tells Netanyahu to mitigate the killing of innocent civilians, and then at the same time circumvents Congress and sends him hundreds of millions of dollars worth of bombs and equipment to continue the wholesale slaughter he says he opposes. Joe Biden is an international war criminal and mass murderer, and you can quote me on that. My friends, over 70% of the homes in Gaza have been destroyed. In your mind, think what America would look like if 70% of our homes were destroyed. Over 21,000 Gazans have been murdered by Israel since October 7. The vast majority of them, women and children. To help put this in perspective for you, Gaza's population is 2.2 million. With 21,000 being murdered by Israel. Applying the same percentage of deaths in Gaza to the United States translates to 2.8 million Americans dead. What would you think and how would you react if Israel murdered almost 3 million Americans, most of them women and children? Come on. What would you do? What would you think if Israel murdered 3 million Americans? That's the equivalent of how many they've murdered in Gaza. Perhaps the better question, though, is what would America's evangelicals think and how would they react if Israel murdered 3 million Americans, most of them women and children? Because it is the evangelical pastors and churches that are cheering and applauding the genocidal murder of the Gazan population. I dare to say that without the support of the evangelicals for the genocidal war in Gaza, it would stop immediately. It is the evangelical Christian community, more than any other single entity, that is more responsible for this slaughter of innocents than any other group, political or otherwise. What would they think? What would these preachers who are getting up waving the Israeli flag in their churches, encouraging people to pray for this demon-possessed monster, Benjamin Netanyahu, as he slaughters innocent people indiscriminately, purposely, deliberately? What would they think if Israel bombed and killed 3 million Americans? Would it change their perspective? I don't know if it would or not. Believe me or not, I've had Christians and pastors tell me that it doesn't really matter to them what happens to America as long as Israel is protected. And I don't mean just one or two. I've had dozens of Christians, including pastors, who've told me that. Israel is more important than the United States. They care more about Israel than they do the United States. Others have told me that it is their opinion that the only reason America exists is to protect Israel. That's the only reason we're here. That's the only reason God raised up America, was to protect Israel. I know some of you are laughing with disbelief. What I'm telling you is a fact. This is what many Christians, including pastors, had told me over the years. So would it matter to them if Israel destroyed 70% of the homes in America and 3 million American dead? Maybe not. As long as Israel is the one doing the murdering, it's all right. It's sanctioned by God. This is what 100 years of Christian Zionism and the Schofield Reference Bible and the Left Behind books and videos and the lying televangelists such as John Hagee and Kenneth Copeland and Dallas Theological Seminary and my alma mater, Liberty University, and every other evangelical college and university has done to America's evangelical Christians and churches. It has turned them into monstrous warmongers for Israel. My dear friends, Christian Zionism is a doctrine of war, death, and destruction. Some Christian Zionists have even said, my Bible professor at LU was one of them, that World War I and World War II were fought for the empowerment of the Zionist agenda. That's not what you thought we fought those wars for, is it? That's not what my dad's generation and my uncles, both of whom served in the Pacific Theater during World War II, one in the Navy and one in the Marines, that's not what they were told they were fighting for when my Uncle Gene was wounded in the islands of the Pacific. They didn't know that they were fighting for the empowerment of the Zionist agenda. They thought they were fighting for the freedom and the sovereignty of the United States of America. If he was correct, my professor, and I'm not so sure that he wasn't, that would mean that the vast majority, listen, that the vast majority of wars since the advent of the 20th century was fought for the benefit of Israel. So we're talking about a century and a quarter of wars fought for Israel. Christian Zionism is a doctrine of war, death, and destruction. Remember what Jesus said about Satan in John chapter 8 and verse 44? He was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the forefathers of modern Zionists. He said to the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." Listen, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. According to our Lord, Satan's trademarks are lying and murder. Yes. Can you start to comprehend why Satan hates the teaching of Christ's new covenant so much? Can you start to understand why he hates the new covenant teaching about Israel so much? Can you start to realize why he hates the new covenant prophecy messages so much? I have the Israel packages. Could I have those? I'd like to show you, and also the prophecy packages. These are three sets. These are the Israel packages, 31 messages in this series on the subject of the biblical truth of Israel. You cannot understand prophecy. You cannot understand the book of Revelation if you do not understand the truth about Israel that are contained in these three packages of videos. Following that, I'm currently working my way through the book of Revelation, and we have so far three of the prophecy messages. The last prophecy package, number three, we just released a couple of weeks ago. These three packages give the new covenant truth of the book of Revelation and the doctrine of eschatology. That is what the book of Revelation truly teaches. Since we began teaching first the Israel packages and then the prophecy packages, Satan has fought this pastor and his family and this fellowship, this congregation, in a very real and substantive manner. You do not know all of the attacks against my family because we don't share those things with people. We just endure them and go on. Neither have many of you shared with others the attacks of Satan that have been going on against you. Those of you online, many of you that have been faithful viewers and supporters of this work have experienced the attack of Satan against you and your family, your job, your career, etc., your health perhaps, in ways that you never would have expected. Satan is a liar, and he hates the truth. Satan is a murderer, and he hates life. And anyone who promotes the new covenant truth and who promotes the new covenant gospel of life is going to feel the wrath of this arch enemy. And sometimes that antagonism and those attacks will come from people who call themselves Christians. But they are caught up in the doctrine of death and war and destruction. They're caught up in Christian Zionism. This is a doctrine of death that pervades our evangelical churches today. It is no wonder we are in the condition we are in as a country when evangelicals who should be blaring forth the truth of love and peace and unity made available by the new covenant gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. Instead, we are cheering, or they are cheering and promoting death, war, and destruction all over the globe. All in the name of Zionism. Now, I do not know what you are reading and what you are studying, but if you are paying attention to what's going on in Palestine, and you are watching and reading reputable, knowledgeable, whether they're Christian or not, truly patriotic Americans, men from military government backgrounds, intelligence services, etc. If you've listened to them, they are all warning us in no uncertain terms that Netanyahu's war in Palestine could escalate into a regional and even global war very easily. Netanyahu is promising to engage this war for many, many more months. He is attacking the West Bank in addition to Gaza. He is attacking Lebanon in addition to the West Bank, in addition to Gaza. Netanyahu is a war-mongering, bloodthirsty monster who seems to be intent on creating World War III. Just a few days ago, he threatened to bomb Iran. Benjamin Netanyahu has done something that no one else has ever been able to do in the history of the Arab world. He is uniting Sunnis and Shias as one. He is uniting the entire Arab world against Israel. And if you think that the United States is capable of riding into the Middle East like the 7th Cavalry and fixing everything by bombing everybody and going to war with everybody and destroying everybody, and you think that that's going to work, you are living in La La Land. The United States is not even able to deal with the Houthis at this very moment. They have completely shut down the Israeli sea traffic. We're talking Yemenis. Look on the map for Yemen and see how much space it occupies on your map. It's on your map, it's about that big. America has spent decades bullying inferior nations and creating an image for itself that it's some kind of impervious military force that no one can not only defeat, but can't even resist. And that's a lie. The war in Ukraine has shown the world that America's emperor has no clothes. Amen. And now Netanyahu has opened another war and is threatening to open two or three other fronts. Okay, well now we're going to go Gaza, West Bank, Lebanon, Iran. You're going to take on the whole Arab world. You're going to go to war against Turkey. You're going to go to war against Pakistan, which is a nuclear power. Turkey has a 2-million-man army. It's not just a militia. It's an army. Iran has very, very sophisticated missiles. Not long range. They couldn't hit America with them. But they could certainly destroy Israel with them, as does Egypt, as does Turkey, as does Pakistan. This thing could spiral out of control very quickly. And if that should happen, it could portend extremely debilitating, deleterious, and disastrous consequences for both Israel and the United States. We have an army marching across America's southern border. It is an alien army. And everybody in Washington, D.C. knows it. And no one is doing anything to stop it. And when the governors on the border, especially Governor Abbott in Texas, tries to do from a state level what should be done at the federal level, the federal allies will come in and they will, by force, remove the barriers that the state of Texas has put up to try and keep the people of Texas safe. Do you believe in conspiracies? So we're going to start multi-regional wars at the same time that we're letting an illegal army invade our country from within. Gee, what could go wrong with that? And America and these evangelical with their head in the sky or maybe in the sand go about their daily lives like nothing's happening. Everything is fine. They keep cheering for more and more war. They keep waving the flag of war like nothing can happen to the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, America is a backslidden country that has turned its back on Almighty God, and God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked in our classrooms. He will not be mocked in the halls of Congress, and he will not be mocked in the pulpits of our churches. And you've been lied to when you were told that there is a special protection of God over Israel. No, there's not. Israel is an antichrist country. Under the judgment of God, as are all antichrists. You were lied to when you were told that there's a special protection of God over America for blessing Israel. No, no. Look at what's happened since 1948 to the United States. How much blessing has America had since 1948? Our schools, are they better now than they were in 1948? What about our families and our homes and our marriages? Are they better than they were in 1948? What about the spiritual condition of our churches? Are they better now than they were in 1948? What about our economy, our economic situations? Are they better now than they were in 1948? More robust economy, people working, thriving, prosperity, banks are solid now instead of 1948. In every area of discernment concerning the viable features of what makes a country stable and strong, we are worse off now than we were in 1948 when we started blessing Israel. No, God isn't blessing America for the way we're blessing Israel. God is cursing America for the way we're blessing Israel. You cannot bless an Antichrist entity and expect to have the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't. It doesn't make sense. Oh, we're going to bless an Antichrist state and then Christ is going to bless us for that. Where'd these people go to school? They went to Dallas Theological Seminary. That's where they were. I'm bringing this to a close. But I tell you this. As long as the doctrine of Christian Zionism prevails in America's evangelical churches, global death and destruction will only intensify. Mark it down. As long as the doctrine of Christian Zionism prevails in America's evangelical churches, global death and destruction will only intensify. And I expect we will see that in 2024. This is true because Zionism is the tool of Satan, wherewith lying and murder are carried out. Beloved, Christ's new covenant is a doctrine of peace, unity, and love. Jesus abolished the old covenant that divided us and instituted a universal and everlasting new covenant that unites us in Christ. Dear friend, come out of the darkness of the old covenant into the glorious light of Christ's new covenant. Stop listening to these old covenant worshiping Christian Zionists who are filling your hearts with hate, falsehood, and confusion, and tune your ears to the truth of the new covenant gospel of Jesus Christ. The future of your eternal soul and America's future existence literally depends on it. Let's stand for a word of prayer.